From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. California Representative Katie Hill fought an uphill battle in 2018 to wrest a House seat from the rabidly right-wing Republican Steve Knight. Now, in a tragic tale of misogyny and GOP dirty dealing, Katie Hill has resigned after right-wing media published private and sexually explicit photos of her leaked by her estranged husband. The controversy forced her hand. In her last speech on the floor of the House, Hill said, quote, "I am leaving because of a misogynistic culture that gleefully consumed my naked pictures, capitalized on my sexuality, and enabled my abusive ex to continue that abuse, this time with the entire country watching." Why did Democrats and progressives not come to Hill's defense? Joining me to help answer that question is Mallory McMaster. She writes for Rewire.news. She's a reproductive rights advocate in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. She owns the Fairmount Group, a full-service marketing and communications firm that serves social justice and abortion rights organizations. She recently wrote about Katie Hill. Welcome to the program, Mallory.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks so much for having me on today.
So I felt that it was important to point out where the story began, which was that Katie Hill, and that context is important, that she was part of that crop of young women who in 2019 came into the House, who did not have political aspirations, who weren't part of these groomed, you know, men who seek political office, having their whole, you know, privilege and life laid out for them. She came into office as part of this crop of young women who beat a lot of Republicans and helped Democrats take back the House. And here we are today. How important is that background, that context of who she is?
I think that's so important to remember. Groups around the country really celebrated young women like Katie and that whole freshman class of grassroots women who took over in 2018, the blue wave that we talked about, and made up that really strong freshman class because they were unique, they were individual. They were imperfect millennial women who represented us, the women who took to the streets after Donald Trump's inauguration in pussy hats and marched with signs. They were of different races, different gender identities, different sexualities. And we celebrated the fact that we broke through that barrier and we put so many women just like us in office. So it is really important that we remember that Katie Hill is one of us. Katie Hill was one of those people that we pushed up and we championed. And we lifted her up because she was just like us.
So here's where we are in the situation today. She was essentially her private life, the part of her life that is nobody's business but her own, was exposed because of which, you know, people refer to as revenge porn. Now, there was a situation where apparently there was some kind of a relationship, inappropriate relationship between somebody in her office and her that was not a official ethical violation, but that could be looked upon as a potential abuse of power because she is in a position of power versus a subordinate. That could have been, she could have been held accountable for that in a way that did not result in shaming her like that, right?
Right, and that has nothing to do with the pictures of her that were released.
Right.
When those allegations came out, she faced them head on. It sounds like she accepted responsibility for one of the relationships that she was accused of. And the House Ethics Committee opened an investigation, which is exactly what's supposed to happen. But none of that, none of those allegations have anything to do with the photos of her that were released and that were circulating around and that would ultimately led to her resignation from Congress. It's important to keep those two things separate because they're not related in any way.
One of the surprising people that has come to her aid is Republican Matt Gaetz. He is a very, very hardcore right-winger, massive Trump supporter, and he is calling out Democrats for not standing up for Katie Hill. I feel like in this particular point, Matt Gaetz is right.
You know, I was very surprised when I heard a rumor that Matt Gaetz stood up for Katie Hill, and I didn't believe it. Because he's such a notorious troll and has done some horrible things to progressives and to women. And when I went and looked, it did seem like he was being empathetic. He did seem like he was coming from a place where he understood the challenges millennial women specifically face in the political sphere. And he was legitimately not only standing up for Katie, but also saying this sort of abuse has no role in Congress. We're not going to let it happen here. I will say today, he did take a swipe at Democrats and politicize the event. So he's getting back to his old tricks. But it does look like he understands that millennial women have backgrounds that aren't the same, or their backgrounds are the same, but we live in a different world where our backgrounds are documented and we live on cell phones with social media. So there are photos of us that exist that other people maybe don't have in their backgrounds that we're just going to have to figure out how to work around. So we have a political sphere that represents all of us.
So let's talk about the Democrats' response or lack thereof. As far as you know, what have Democrats done or not done in response to what has happened to Katie Hill?
It's been kind of hard to track what Democrats have done because it seems so obvious that Democrats should have stood up immediately and said, this is abuse. We're not going to let it happen here. You cannot abuse one of our colleagues, our friends. And we are never going to let an abuser come into the United States Congress and control a member of Congress like this. But when it happened, there was silence. I don't think any members spoke up for Katie for the first couple of days after it happened. And then every once in a while you'd hear, you know, someone speaking up here or there. Every comment, as I noted in my article that came out in Rewire.news, every comment seems to be bookended with condemnation for her wrongdoings, too. So before anyone would express sympathy for the abuse she'd experienced, first they had to say, well, Katie did something wrong, almost suggesting that by doing something wrong, Katie had brought her abuse upon herself. And that's a really dangerous outlook and perspective. It's important to remember that the two issues had nothing to do with themselves. But still, there's been widespread silence. I think a couple of progressive members of the Democratic caucus have spoken out here and there. And Senator Kamala Harris from California spoke out a couple of days after the news broke about abuse porn. Revenge porn or cyber exploitation, as she called it. Because she has a platform of pushing forward on legislation to make that a crime. And I think she's actually introduced federal legislation to toughen punishment for cyber exploitation. So it was great to see, as a presidential candidate and as a senator, her speaking up. But it's still been pretty silent. We haven't seen the women's rights groups who pushed Hill across the finish line in her 2018 race standing up for her. We haven't seen leadership like Speaker Pelosi or Senator Schumer speaking up for her. We haven't seen any of the older, safer members of the Democratic Party standing up for her.
So let's talk about what it was that Pelosi said at a press conference when she was asked if Hill should resign. Pelosi just said, well, that was her decision to make. But then she added, I do say to my own children and grandchildren, especially young children, you know, some of these, I don't know what you call them, appearances on social media can come back to haunt you if they're taken out of context and that. But I do think we have to be careful. It sounds like she was victim blaming Katie Hill, even slut shaming her.
She was absolutely victim blaming and slut shaming Katie Hill. And it sounds like in a closed door meeting, at some point after that press conference, she even made a comment to the extent of, we need to teach girls in kindergarten not to take photos like these.
Wow.
And it's important to remember that during her floor speech on her last day in Congress, Hill indicated that she didn't even know the photos existed. This is an act of abuse. Even if she did know the photos existed, it's not a mistake to trust your husband. The mistake and the violation was on the part of the person who committed the crime, who released the photos, and who violated her trust. And that's who messed up. That's who made the mistake.
It's like saying to girls, when you're talking about rape, we need to teach girls to be more careful instead of talking about we need to teach boys to not rape. Pelosi could have said we need to teach boys to not abuse girls using incriminating photographs.
Exactly. And I think that our silence around this, the silence and the fact that we're looking the other way and not taking a firm stance, I've heard a firm, loud and fast stance against this this use of cyber exploitation to hurt a member of Congress is opening the door for more abusers, which do tend to be men, though it can be people of either gender, to commit similar crimes because they know that they can get away with it. And they saw how quickly And swiftly it happened to Hill, who was one of the most revered and well-respected members of that freshman class.
So in a little bit, I want to talk about the husband, the ex-husband, and how he committed this abuse with the complicity of right-wing media and the GOP. But first, I do want to play a short clip, or actually the full speech that Katie Hill gave on her last day on the floor of the House. And you can see her courage in this speech. If you hadn't heard of Katie Hill before, you can only imagine the way in which she had, she has quite a lot of conviction and stood up quite bravely for what she believes in. Here is her last speech to Congress.
I will never shirk my responsibility for this sudden ending to my time here. But I have to say more because this is bigger than me. I am leaving now because of a double standard. I am leaving because I no longer want to be used as a bargaining chip. I'm leaving because I didn't want to be peddled by papers and blogs and websites used by shameless operatives for the dirtiest gutter politics that I've ever seen, and the right-wing media to drive clicks and expand their audience by distributing intimate photos of me taken without my knowledge, let alone my consent, for the sexual entertainment of millions. I'm leaving because of a misogynistic culture that gleefully consumed my naked pictures, capitalized on my sexuality, and enabled my abusive ex to continue that abuse, this time with the entire country watching. I am leaving because of the thousands of vile, threatening emails, calls, and texts that made me fear for my life and the lives of the people that I care about. Today is the first time I've left my apartment since the photos, taken without my consent, were released, and I'm scared. I'm leaving because for the sake of my community, my staff, my family, and myself, I can't allow this to continue. Because I've been told that people were angry when I stood strong after the first article was posted, and that they had hundreds more photos and text messages that they would release bit by bit until they broke me down to nothing, while they used my faults and my past to distract from the things that matter most. I'm leaving because there is only one investigation that deserves the attention of this country, and that's the one that we voted on today.
And that is a clip from Katie Hill's final address to Congress, right after the House voted on the impeachment resolution, the resolution outlining impeachment procedures against Donald Trump that Katie Hill talked about voting for. My guest is Mallory McMaster, who has written an article in Rewire.news about Katie Hill's resignation and what she went through. Mallory, one of the things that Katie talked about was, in addition to the fact that those photos that were released were not taken with her consent, she was essentially, the reason why she left so fast was because she was told that there were hundreds more photos and that they would be released little by little. I mean, that sounds like absolute overt blackmail and political threats.
It's chilling. It was chilling to read. It was heartbreaking to read. I watched it live and teared up when I heard that. She indicated earlier in the speech that she hadn't left her bed for several days. And I can understand why. It's heartbreaking to think that someone who fought so ferociously and so hard for the things that she believed in and had so much hope and potential could be wiped out by one vindictive evil man who just wanted to take her down.
So this particular person, her ex, Kenneth Heslop, had been in the middle of a divorce, and in late September was contacting media organizations, right-wing talk show hosts, asking if they were interested in interviews because he was ready to talk. He literally offered her up on a platter to her enemies. Now, Steve Knight's former staffers and aides have claimed they were not involved. Steve Knight has said he was not involved. But the LA Times had a piece suggesting that this was essentially the work of Republican enemies of Katie Hill, who through their right-wing media machine and, you know, really just unethical outlets like the Daily Mail and Red State managed to succeed in ousting her. So this was the work of, it sounds like, abusive men.
This is absolutely the work of abusive men who had their eye on Katie Hill's seat and had a plan to do this. They found a way in. I don't know if they reached out to her ex-husband or if he reached out to them, but they saw an opportunity and they took it. And I don't know if they knew that Democrats wouldn't stand up to defend her as quickly as they should, but they gambled and they won. And they got what they wanted out of this. And it's really disappointing.
Now, Steve Knight, whose seat Katie Hill won in 2018, is reportedly planning some kind of a comeback to his career. So the Republicans, if they win this seat back from the one that Katie Hill has vacated, will have, you know, won back one of the seats that they lost. It just seems to me remarkable that if the tables were turned, and if it was a Republican who was outed in this way and who was shamed in this way publicly, that person's party would have stood by them, possibly even a woman, but you know, most Republicans are men. They just seem to have a bit of a woman problem. But male or female, that the Republican Party would have likely stood up for that person, because that's what they're doing with Trump, the person who dozens of women have accused of sexual assault and some even rape. And of course, he has many, many other improprieties, unethical behavior, crimes, and they are standing up for him tooth and nail in the face of so much evidence of his wrongdoing. They play dirty. The Democrats, on the other hand, seem to just fall over and give up at the very first instance.
You know, and I'm going to back up a little bit and say, mm-hmm. if this happened to a Republican, I would expect Democrats to stand up and defend that person as well.
Really?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that this is an issue that transcends party and partisan politics. And if this happened to a Republican woman or a Republican man, I would be just as devastated as, you know, it's happening to Katie Hill. I know that the motivation behind it is political, but the impact is personal.
And but do you think Democrats would have stood up for a Republican who faced the same situation?
No, but I think that they should.
That they should, of course. Yes, I completely agree with you. Yes, everybody should stand up. But would they have? We don't know. And they certainly didn't for their own, for one of their own. Right. In your article on Rewire.news, you bring up a comparison to Al Franken and his situation. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Right. So, you know, when Al Franken faced several credible allegations of sexual impropriety while he was in office, Democrats were in denial. I mean, some Democrats immediately called for him to step down. Some Democrats immediately called for an investigation. And a lot of Democrats said no. They said it wasn't serious enough. They didn't believe the women. They thought it was a hit job. And they still hold a lot of anger today against Senator Gillibrand, who was the first senator to publicly call for his resignation, even though the allegations had been out there. And there were eight of them, I think, at the time that she stepped up, when no men, none of her male colleagues at that point had had the nerve to stand up and say the right thing. So the Franken situation was interesting because Democrats were much, much more forgiving when there were eight credible allegations against.
And they were
someone.
Vocal, right?
They were vocal. They're still vocal. You talk about Al Franken and a Democratic Party event, and you will have to have people escorted out of the room. Several years later, at this point, he's still getting airtime. Hmm. The other situation around Al Franken's compared to Katie Hill's, that's very different, is Katie Hill's situation has been sexualized and sensationalized due to her her sexuality and her gender and her relationship style.
There were allegations about her being a part of a threesome couple, a throuple, and that has been so sensationalized.
Yes, it's been so sensationalized. So when Franken was in the media, the headlines were all about the allegations against him and whether or not they were true. But Hill, the minute that all of this news broke, the media, instead of focusing on the fact that she was a victim of abuse, when these photos were released and we realized what was happening, we saw this abuser coming into Congress to attack a woman. The media focused on the fact that she's different, just exactly what Matt Gaetz said. Hmm. She's different. So they focused on the fact that she's bisexual, that she was having sex with a woman. They focused on the fact that she was in a polyamorous relationship or an open relationship. I don't know how she personally defined it, but it was a three-person relationship. They focused on the fact that she was having sex with multiple people at the same time. And that's what the media focused on. And it turned into a chaotic circus frenzy about her nude photos instead of the fact that someone was using them to hurt her. That didn't happen to Al Franken. Democrats focused on protecting Al Franken. In Katie Hill's situation, Democrats forgot to protect Katie Hill. And they focused on, I don't know what, with Katie Hill.
They seem really to sure want to, it's almost seemed like they just wanted the whole story to go away, especially the timing of it with the impeachment resolution. It just seemed like an inconvenience.
The timing was horrible with the impeachment. Though I am glad that it happened that way. So Hill was able to return to Congress and cast that vote. I think it was really meaningful for her to do that. And the way she framed it during her speech was very powerful. That she was taking her last vote against Donald Trump and everything he stood for. I'm glad that she got to do that, but you're right. The timing heading into the impeachment was a blessing maybe because it kept the media cycle short for her, but it also kept Democrats focused on the wrong thing. So they did want to brush it under the rug. They did want it to go away. And I think that it maybe kept a lot of them a little nervous about looking at it and talking about it, because they didn't want to do anything that would rock the boat with their impeachment proceedings before they had that vote done.
I want to play one more video of Katie Hill in a message that she recorded to her supporters, to her district, and she posted this online. This is a small clip of that.
Hi, I'm Katie Hill, and last night I announced the most difficult decision of my life, that I would be resigning from Congress. I made this decision so that my supporters, my family, my staff, and our community will no longer be subjected to the pain inflicted by my abusive husband and the brutality of hateful political operatives. This coordinated campaign carried out by the right-wing media and Republican opponents, enabling and perpetuating my husband's abuse by providing him a platform, is disgusting and unforgivable, and they will be held accountable. But I will not allow myself to be a distraction from the constitutional crisis we're faced with and the critical work of my colleagues. And so I have to take my personal fight outside the halls of Congress. Too many Americans are counting on Washington to fulfill our promises of quality health care, housing we can afford, and a government that works for the people. And I cannot let this horrible smear campaign get in the way of that work. To my supporters in our district and across our great country, please know that we did something incredible. We proved that an imperfect woman, the 31-year-old daughter of a nurse and a police officer who never planned to run for office, has a place in the people's house.
And that is Katie Hill explaining in part her decision to resign, saying that she didn't want to be a distraction from the issue at hand. Well, finally, Mallory, was there, do you think, a generational issue at stake here as well? She's 31 years old, and younger Americans have a different set of standards by which they judge one another, or the way in which they look at sexuality, think about what is really important. I mean, if we just even think about, you know, Clinton being impeached for having an affair, now it seems like that's kind of old-fashioned to think about someone having an affair outside their marriage should impact the way in which they have a political career. And then, you know, you have a sexual predator in the White House who supposedly even that's okay, although should never be. But I'm wondering if you think that there's a generational issue at stake here as well.
It does feel like there's a generational issue because millennials have grown up with computers and texting and social media and photos on cell phones in our pockets all the time.
And are much more tolerant of different sexual orientations, right?
Right, absolutely. So we understand the risk there, but we also have been learning about LGBTQ issues and different sexualities and different genders our entire lives. And we're open to talking about gender as a fluid idea and sexuality as a fluid concept and relationships that don't look like our own. And we're much more comfortable seeing them reflected in the media, seeing them in our communities. People are more open about their relationships. If they're LGBTQ, they're out because we've made it a little safer for people to be themselves in our communities and in public. So it's a little more commonplace for people to talk about being bisexual or being in a polyamorous relationship. So it's not as jarring for younger people as it might be for folks who are older than the millennial generation. And I think that might be why Matt Gaetz, for example, who is maybe around the same age as Katie Hill and is a notoriously good social media user and very relatable to millennials. That's why he gets it and why he was so quick to jump up to Hill's defense the other day, just because he sees where older members of Congress and older political leaders aren't getting the picture that this is a problem and that we can't let this happen to anyone.
Well, Mallory, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article in rewire.news about Katie Hill from our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Mallory McMaster. She writes for Rewire.news. She's a reproductive rights advocate in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and owns the Fairmont Group, a full-service marketing and communications firm serving social justice and abortion rights organizations. We've been discussing the resignation of Katie Hill. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.